Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection. Hey everybody, welcome to HR Latte. What a gorgeous day it is here on the West Coast. I apologize. I'm not trying to rub it in because I know another cold front is making its way through most of the Midwest and the East Coast. This is Rayanne Thorne, your host here on HR Latte. I'm very excited about my guest today. I am wrapping up my month-long series on the candidate experience, and Stephanie Schnick from PricewaterhouseCooper, yes, those guys that delivered the votes to the Oscars the other night, Stephanie's with us today, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about the difference the recruiter can make in the hiring process and how the candidate feels or the job seeker feels when going through that whole process. So, Stephanie, I'm going to give you just a second or two to tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll jump right in.
Excellent. Thank you, Rayanne. So, as Rayanne mentioned, I am a recruiting manager with PwC, and I am responsible for experienced assurance recruiting for the greater Atlanta market, which includes Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama. I've been there next week. March 3rd will be a year. And my prior experience includes both corporate recruiting, agency, boutique agency recruiting. I actually had my own firm for 8 years. And I have also worked as a sourcing manager.
So how many years in total, Stephanie, is that you've been a recruiter?
So I've also had a couple of different roles in between account management and business development. Okay. So all in all, recruiting, I'm probably somewhere between 15 and 18 years.
So a great deal of experience as a recruiter. And obviously the job has changed over the years due to technology. But the general capabilities and skill set required for a good recruiter, the recruiter that has discernment capabilities and knows how to get, as my first recruiting boss said, get the candidate to open the kimono and share all the goods that are necessary to really determine whether or not that candidate is the right fit, comes from within. It doesn't have anything to do with what's at your fingertips. It is part of you and the experience that you have gained as a recruiting professional. And so when I decided to do this month-long series on the candidate experience, I wanted to do something different than what we've been hearing about for the last several years. I wanted to really dive in and talk about, you know, what does employment branding mean to the candidate? What does technology do for the candidate, right? And this week we're going to talk about the recruiter difference. And when you hear personally, Stephanie, as a recruiter with up to 18 years of experience, when you hear the phrase candidate experience, what does that mean to you?
Well, so when I hear candidate experience, when I think of that, I try to position myself as the candidate. And I think about experiences that I've had as a candidate, some good, some bad. Personally, when I am the candidate, I like to feel valued. I like to feel like the people, you know, the company that I'm interacting with through the process is excited to learn more about me, is invested, I guess would be the right word, invested in the process just as much as I am.
And that is key, absolutely key.
So I was going to just share, actually, my most recent candidate experience, which was just a little over a year ago when I was interviewing here at PwC. And it was interesting because, obviously, interviewing for a role as a recruiting manager, that's going to be something, the candidate experience, that I'm going to own and be responsible for. So I really paid attention along the way to what my own experience was going through as a candidate. And I will tell you, it wasn't that great. And it was, and when I say the experience, I'm talking about the process. My actual meetings with people within the firm were excellent. And so that experience was phenomenal. And it's why I'm at PwC today, because it's really those meetings and those interactions with the people that I met with and I knew I'd be working closely with were absolutely the reason that I made the change that I did. My own candidate experience from a process perspective really was not positive at all. And so there were a number of things along the way. For example, it dragged on and on.
Right.
You know, I was originally told that I would only be going into the office for face-to-face interviews, you know, for one day. And then at the last minute, there was a change after I'd already changed my schedule. And it caused me a lot of stress. And ultimately, I ended up having to go back a different day. And, you know, and then the communication along the way was very poor. I was the one always having to check in. Nobody was, you know, keeping me up to date. And ultimately, it took them forever to extend an offer. And so in the meantime, someone else had reached out to me for a very similar role. And so I thought, well, why not? So I started that interview right. process. And so then when the offer came, I said, hey, you know, you guys unfortunately took too long, and now I'm talking with, and I need to see this process through. So ultimately, I did end up here. And it, like I said, and I, you know, being here a year, it's definitely the right place for me. But I learned a lot along the way through that process. I took copious notes, and it helped me know that, you know, day one when I walked in the door, the things that I wanted to do differently.
So that experience made you a better, more intuitive recruiter as well, understanding that it's not just about the hiring company. It's also about the job seeker, the applicant, the candidate, and what they are experiencing, what they are taking away from that experience, and whether or not they'll—I mean, you were number one on their list, and you didn't know that, and you weren't made to feel that way, right? So, I'm sure that that changed you as a recruiter and what you brought to the organization where you are. It's so interesting when recruiters or HR professionals go through that process themselves and really get a ground level view of the candidate experience and what needs to change and why we're still talking about it, right? I myself have experienced this recently, and it's not fun. It is not fun at all. The feeling out of the loop, the lack of communication is I think, one of the biggest problems that exists. And I don't know how we can change it, because we've been talking about it for a long time, and that still is an ongoing issue. So hopefully one step at a time, right? You obviously have changed your process or have honed your process. I'm sure that, you know, your experience over the years has made any experience that a job seeker or candidate has with you much better than the average experience. Do you think that that has anything to do with why you are still in recruiting? Do you feel like you're in a constant state of evolution and learning? Or what do you attribute being a recruiter for so long? Why stay in the industry? Not very many people do.
Well, I mean, so I put a lot of thought into this. And, you know, what I keep coming back to is really my passion for recruiting and for the interaction and for, you know, I do pride myself. I work hard every day to provide, you know, a really great candidate experience. And obviously, one of the best parts about being a recruiter is extending an offer and seeing the joy of someone, you know, bringing someone to join the team and then actually interacting with them as part of your team and all of that. I mean, there's just so much joy and a sense of accomplishment from all of that. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I have through the course of my career, I've taken on a couple of different roles having to do with business development and account management. And I always, you know, I enjoyed those roles for several years at a time and then found myself quickly, okay, this has been a great experience and now I'm ready to get back to doing what I do best. So I, right. you know, I always have just come back to it and I finally realized, okay, this is where I belong. I mean, the good news is, you know, those roles in business development and account management, I firmly believe made me that much better as a recruiting manager because, you know, you also really realize how critical those relationships that you have, you know, with my clients, our hiring managers. And so I think it made me better at managing relationships. I have a lot of experience managing difficult relationships and turning them around, and that's not always fun, but it is a very, very good skill to have when you need it. So, you know, all in all, I think it's just, this is home for me. Recruiting is home for me.
Well, that's good news for the recruiting world. I'm lucky enough to have, have met you years ago and to be able to maintain a relationship and really know that it is home for you. So has it been your experience, Stephanie, that social media or technology and it really has taken the business world by storm the last few years? And of course it will, because it has taken our personal lives. Right. We communicate via social or via mobile. And so, of course, it's going to work its way into our business lives. Has it been important, social media and technology, has it been important in developing a valuable or good candidate experience? Or has it been one of the stumbling blocks or the roadblocks that has prevented, I've always said that it either benefits or it detracts and causes not to benefit the process. So, and of course, it depends upon the user. So has social media helped the process or the experience of the candidate?
I think it's done both. I think it's in some ways helped, and in other ways, there's a lot of talk in the recruiting industry about post and pray, and that was going on, before social media. But I think, in some ways, depending on the person, as you said, the user, and I'm talking about both recruiters and candidates, I think in some ways, certain people it might have made, it might sometimes encourage a little more lazy approach to either recruiting or a job search. But in other ways, when people do it right, and when companies really do it right, I think it's helped tremendously. I actually just read a really interesting article this morning about what Nordstrom is doing differently. And, so you think of Nordstrom, you think of walking in and filling out an application to work on the sales floor from 9 to 5. And, Nordstrom offers so much more than that. Obviously, Nordstrom.com is a very, very valuable, part of their business, an important part of their business. And, so if you're an app developer or, you work in technology, Nordstrom wouldn't necessarily be the first company to come to mind when you're seeking a new job or a new career. So you've got, the Amazons of the world and all the other companies, in Seattle. And so they took an entirely different approach in order to connect with the tech world. And they use social media in a number of really creative ways that I actually think a lot of companies could learn from. That's an article that I shared actually on Twitter this morning. I'd be happy to share it again later if anyone's interested taking a look. Yeah. So, I'm not trying to escape the question here, but I really do think in certain cases it's helped and can be, it can be what you make of it. I think the key there is, there's a saying, I've invested years in my personal life in and out of counseling for various reasons, which I always find helpful. And there's a saying that therapists use. It says, meet you where you are. And when I think of how to connect with people in social media, I think that's how you need to think of it. You've got to meet them where they are, right? So
absolutely.
That was one of the things when reading the article about Nordstrom, that phrase just kept popping in my mind, is meet you where you are.
And that is key to success in social recruiting. And one of the reasons why it became so popular so quickly is that recruiters, by their very nature, want to do their job quickly, more effectively, more efficiently. And social brought that aspect of a quick reaching potential candidates very quickly. And so I think that's why it seemed like recruiters and HR jumped on it as quickly as they could. They did not do it right to begin with, right? Because it did get in the way of having a great candidate experience. When you only broadcast and you don't listen, it changes how it is used. So I can see and understand exactly what you're saying. And when we consider your example, Nordstrom, I mean, that, like you said, their competitors are Amazon and Zappos and all of these other companies who already have a brilliant tech base in place. I mean, one of the best mobile apps I've ever shopped from is Zappos, you know, and so they've got to stay ahead of the game. So it sounds like they're doing the right thing and meeting their potential candidates where they are. And I want to thank you again, Stephanie, for being here today. You're listening to HR Latte. Stephanie Schnick, who is a recruiter at PricewaterhouseCooper, PwC, has joined us today to wrap up my month-long series on the candidate experience. You can follow Stephanie at I'm So Stephanie on Twitter. You are also welcome to request to connect with her on LinkedIn. Stephanie, like many other professionals in recruiting and HR, are very leery about who we connect with on LinkedIn these days. You know, when you're working so closely with a database like LinkedIn Shares, we have to be really, so make sure if you are going to connect with her, you give her a good synopsis of who you are and why you would like to connect, as with me. We always appreciate that, don't we, Stephanie? So
yes.
Let's see. Moving on. HR Latte is only a 30-minute show, and there's never enough time to get everything in, so I want to get as much in as possible. What are job seekers, and I always like to validate this by saying job seekers, applicants, and candidates, because you never know who's listening to the show. And if somebody who is a job seeker is listening, they don't really know the logos, the jargon, the lingo, not the logo, the lingo of the recruiter world. So I like to always qualify and create an understanding for whoever my listeners might be. I have personally identified that a job seeker is somebody who's out there looking for a job, you know, pounding the pavement, cruising the job boards, responding to social messages, that type of thing, applying at career portals for companies. An applicant is somebody who's actually found a job and applied, and a candidate is somebody who the recruiter or the hiring manager, hiring company, has identified as somebody who potentially could be a fit, so has received that resume or that application and said, I want to talk to this person. Not everybody views that as the progression of job seeker, applicant, candidate, but that's kind of what I view, because I think that's how a job seeker can understand it the best. So what are job seekers, applicants, candidates ultimately looking for in the job search experience besides just finding a job, right? It's easy to say, hey, all I want is a job. And a lot of job seekers are desperate today to find a job. I don't think our economy has improved as much as the press would lead you to believe. I have many, many friends who contact me on a regular basis. Please help me, right? So what are they looking for in that experience?
Well, I think it's what you just said. Please help me. You know, one of the things about, you know, the candidate experience, companies like PwC, you know, we have 40,000 employees in the U.S., so we always have a large number of, you know, openings due to whether it's, you know, growth or changes or whatever. And the volume of applications that we receive, you know, on a daily, hourly basis is staggering. And, you know, not everybody's going to be qualified for the job that applies, obviously. One thing that, you know, a couple things that I try to do, you know, during that time as I'm reviewing applications and somebody doesn't meet, you know, they don't meet the basic or the minimum qualifications for the job. You can't, obviously, again, volume is an issue, so you can't do this with everybody. But if it's something where I'm talking with someone and maybe they're right on the cusp or, you know, they're just not quite there yet, you know, to the degree that I can, I'll share with them, you know, here's what's missing. And so I want to stay in touch because I think what, you know, for this role, let's say if it's a senior associate role, we absolutely require the CPA. We require, you know, minimum numbers of years of direct related experience. And they may not have it today, but 2 years down the road, they probably will if that's what they want to do and they continue on this career path. So let's stay in touch. So I try to just be honest with them and tell them, you know, this is what we need. This is what we require. And, you know, I think you're going to get there. And so let's stay in touch. And sometimes it's just not going to be the right fit. What they're looking for may not be what we're looking for. And so in that case, again, when I can, I try to just offer a little help or guidance or some ideas for them in terms of where to go next or what to pursue?
So, Stephanie, I have had multiple individuals contact me when they're going through the job search process and say to me, why won't they tell me, right? Why won't they tell me where I am in the process? Why won't they tell me why I didn't get the job, right? And you shared that you try to be honest and truthfully give them, you know, good feedback that will benefit them. Can you share for listeners who might be in that process, the job search process, why do companies feel the need to not disclose full reasons? Is there something that could hurt them, the company itself, if they share full reasons? I mean, I really want job seekers to understand why sometimes there's a lag in information and a lag in response. So if you could share a couple of things why they might not be getting feedback that they need.
You know, that's going to vary from – it's really hard to speak for anybody else. It varies dramatically. You know, one reason could be that the recruiter just – it's a volume issue, which is an issue for many of us.
Right.
You know, and I know at my current firm at PwC, we're set up so that when somebody applies, you know – or at least the way I handle it, because sometimes people will apply to multiple jobs, and the last thing I want to do is send someone 10 rejection letters. That's not a good candidate experience either. But I make sure that you know, we do have the option when we disposition candidates to at least to send one notification, so they know that someone, yes, I did review, you know, this person or this individual does not meet the basic or the minimum qualifications for this job. But they at least know, you know, it does have my name on the letter. It's, I mean, it is a form letter, but it says what I need it to say, and it's got my name on it. So, you know, I do make sure that when I'm going through dispositioning, they do receive at least one notification if we're not going to be able to, you know, move forward in the interview process. And I think a lot of people,
right,
unfortunately, don't even get that. And that's a huge source of frustration. They feel like when they apply, you know, their application goes into a big black hole. And in fact, when I do share jobs through social media that I'm recruiting for, I always try to make a point to say all applications go directly to me, because I think that's important for people to know. I'm not just blasting this out in the ethers and, you know, hoping for the best. I'm actually the one that's here going to be watching these applications come through and giving each one careful consideration.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, you know, the other issue, back to your original question, was there is somewhat of a liability issue as well. You know, we have, you know, laws and guidelines. We're regulated, and PwC is in a highly rated, you know, regulated industry anyway. But there are regulations, there are laws, and so, you know, we do sometimes we just need to be careful what information that we're sharing. And so if it's something that's pretty basic, pretty simple, like, you know, these are the minimum qualifications for the job. It requires a CPA, you don't have a CPA, or it requires a degree in accounting and you don't have a degree in accounting. That's pretty easy to share. But sometimes when the communication or the reasons are a little more nuanced, from a legal perspective, it becomes a little more difficult to communicate that sometimes in a way that doesn't put companies at potentially at risk,
I guess
I'd say.
Right. Thank you. I appreciate that explanation. When you consider your job as a recruiter and what you need to remember, right, what do you do personally? Is there something that you can share that you do personally to create a positive candidate experience for individuals that make it past their resume review?
So the first thing I try to do is set expectations up front. I walk them through the first conversation that I have with them, I walk them through our process. I let them know when, you know, if I feel like I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to move forward and I'm going to recommend to the hiring manager that we bring this person in for interviews, then I let them know I'm going to go and make the recommendation that we bring you in as soon as we hear back. You'll either hear directly from my recruiting associate, who will be contacting you to set up any future meetings, whether it's by phone, video, or in person, if we're not going to move forward, you're going to hear back from me directly. So I set expectations. I tell them what to expect, when to expect it. If things aren't moving along the timeline that I had laid out and anticipated, then I'm communicating with them throughout that process to be sure that they don't feel in the dark. You know, and not to mention, I mean, I want them to have a good experience, but I also don't want to lose them in the process. I mean, we're in a competitive situation. The majority of the time, you know, they're not just talking to us, they're talking to our direct competitors. So another thing that's important to me, both from our perspective and from the candidate perspective, is to keep things moving and to move quickly and to get to a hiring decision quickly. And to not let it drag out.
So when you consider your own future, Stephanie, as a recruiter, and I'm guessing because you have come back to this home a couple of times that this is your career, this is what you have chosen to do for the rest of your working life. When you consider your own future as a recruiter, what are some key things that you need to remember to secure your own retention? We talk so much in HR, and HR jargon includes retention, which means retaining quality employees or hanging on to those employees that you've worked so hard to acquire. So when you think of your own retention, securing and keeping your own job, what are three key things that you need to do?
Well, I think the first and most important thing is relationships. So I'm constantly thinking about and working to improve the relationships that I have with my colleagues, with the people that I interact very closely with on a daily basis, my clients, obviously. What can I do to always make sure that I'm doing the best I can do for them and to communicate to them accordingly, make sure they understand what I'm doing and what to expect from us, and communicate within, you know, so within my firm, across different lines of service and then also within the industry. I mean, things are constantly changing. Let's face it, you know, nobody is guaranteed anything today or tomorrow. So always make sure that I'm doing the best I can do to be helpful within the community and my own network. And the second thing that I focus on is just staying relevant, keeping up. You know, as you mentioned, things have changed. Even in the amount of time I've been in the industry, they've changed dramatically. So always trying to stay at the forefront when it comes to new technology or new, you know, methodologies and just stay, keep things, you know, fresh and new and keep learning. And then, you know, finally, I think something that's very important is to never, ever take candidates for granted. You know, yes, I'm at a firm today where we have a pretty good applicant flow, if you will. But whether someone comes in because they applied online or whether it's someone that I'm, you know, reaching out to, not sure if they're necessarily in the job market, but just trying to have a conversation with them. You know, no matter what, I try to just always, you know, be sure to value applicants, candidates, and you know, colleagues in the industry.
Perfect. And as we wrap up the show, again, 30 minutes goes so fast. Where do today's recruiters continue to fail? And do you think, Stephanie, that there's always going to be bad candidate experiences? I have an unfortunate feeling that yes, because it is connected to people. But what are your thoughts on this? Why do, or where do today's recruiters fail?
Well, you know, like any industry, we have some people in the industry that do what they do really well and are passionate about it and love it. And, you know, and any industry also has people that just maybe don't have as much skin in the game, aren't as interested or invested. And so, you know, will there always be bad candidate experiences? Unfortunately, probably. I'd love to envision a world where that weren't the case. But, you know, I think this is an industry that continues to strive to be better and to do better and to improve. But, you know, sometimes we miss the mark. And, you know, we're also in a world that's changing a lot faster than a lot of things that can keep up. I mean, our laws can't keep up with technology for sure.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, I don't see that slowing down. So, you know, it is a world where we have to really always be on our feet and always, you know, not just walking, but running to kind of keep up with the pace and keep up with the changes. And it's just not always easy to do.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest, Stephanie, here on HR Latte today. I always wrap up my show with a quick hit fave list. So I have four questions, standard questions that I ask every guest. What is your favorite food?
Well, since my passion outside of recruiting is cooking.
I know.
My favorite food is anything I've made because I've enjoyed the process so much.
That's great. I recently visited New York and learned a little bit about, I call it free will cooking, you know, because I've been this mom for so long and, you know, budgets are tight and time is tight. And so I'm starting to learn to enjoy the process a little bit more. And it does change how you enjoy your food. So I really appreciate that and going to continue to my education on free will cooking.
I love that.
What is your favorite book? This is my favorite question.
So I don't read many books anymore. When I was a kid, I was an absolute bookworm. But I think the internet changed that for me. I spend so much time online. I read so much online.
Right.
And I actually think it's negatively impacted my attention span because everything, just about everything you read online is quick, you know, 5-minute articles.
Right.
And so I don't have the attention span anymore. But I did recently, you know, my love of cooking, I love to watch cooking shows. I watch The Pioneer Woman a lot. And I ordered a couple of her cookbooks because I use her recipes all the time, but I also read a book that she came out with several years ago based on the story of how she met her husband called Black Heels to Tractor Wheels. She was a city girl and you know, just randomly met this rancher cowboy. You know, she now lives on a ranch in the middle of nowhere raising four kids, and you know, that's how she got her name, the Pioneer Woman. But their love, so it was just a book about their love story, but it was fascinating. So that was a really fun read.
If you hear me tapping, it's because I was writing that down. My daughter loves the Pioneer Woman, so I'm going to order that book for her. I'm sure she'll love it. So
it's a good fun read.
Oh, good. I will definitely get that for her. Another question that I like to ask is, where is your favorite place? And this doesn't need to be limited to a geographical location, right? It could be a room in your house. It could be a local park. My favorite place on earth is Agate Street Beach, which is about a half a mile from my house. It's my favorite place on earth. So where is your favorite place?
My favorite place is probably my home. My husband and I are
and you
both
have a new
home bodies. Yeah, we do. We're both homebodies. We both work a lot at home. And it's just, if I could be anywhere, this is where I want to be.
Oh, that's a great answer. And last but certainly not least, what is your favorite thing to do?
Well, that's a hard one to nail down. But one of the things that we're enjoying while we're living where we are in this loft is if you open our front door, directly across the street is a Cine Bistro, and I do love movies. So my husband and I, probably once a month, we'll go over there on a weekend and enjoy a giant bowl of popcorn and some wine and watch a good movie. And that's
nice.
Something I always look forward to doing. Yeah.
Me too. Well, Stephanie, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you here on HR Latte. Stephanie is the Assurance Experienced Recruiting Leader with PwC in the greater Atlanta market. I really appreciate you taking the time, Stephanie, to be on HR Latte today and wrap up my series on the candidate experience. Any last words?
This has been great. I just wanted to say thanks. It's such an honor to be here, and I always enjoy getting together with my good friend Rayanne, so this has been fun. Thank you.
Well, the pleasure is all mine indeed. Thank you, everyone, for joining us and listening today. Thanks again, Stephanie. Next month, I will kick off a new series, which will have to do with UK recruiting, UK hiring. So all of my guests will be from the UK. I have Lisa Scales lined up, Ken Ward. Let's see, if I hope I don't forget anybody, Jeffrey, Matthew Jeffrey. And let's see who else, Mike Taylor, and I'm missing someone. I won't forget, though, next month. Thanks for joining me today on HR Latte. Hope you tune in next month as we kick off a series across the pond.